Important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, pietism emphasizes the personal experience of being born again. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't you worry, our crack staff is on it. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy?
Yes?
You claim that C-O-L-L-A-R-D is pronounced?
Collard.
And I'm saying it's pronounced Collard Greens.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm from the north, you're from the south. So this is what I've done. I've gone to the YouTube machine.
Okay.
And I typed in how to pronounce C-O-L-L-A-R-D Greens.
Okay.
And we're going to find out.
Together.
Okay. How to pronounce collard greens. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to crank it here. This is quality radio right here.
Collard greens.
Collard greens.
Collard greens.
See, that you know what? You know what we've just learned here? Again, you cannot believe everything you hear on the internet. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I have recognized the sin of fear of man in my heart.
Good.
I'm often afraid of specific people in my life and overthink a lot, and I'm struggling to combat this. I know I need to grow in the fear of the Lord, but I'm not quite sure how to practically do it.
Hmm.
This word is pronounced as collard greens.
I'm sorry, what was the email? No. Fear of man. The first step to overcoming your fear of man is recognizing you got it. So to this individual, I say props. That is, it's funny. Even secularists sometimes they stumble over Christian truth. If you are going to grow or stop doing a behavior, I'm trying to use secular language, a behavior that maybe, you know, doesn't allow you to be the best you that you can be. Actually, that sounded like Joel Osteen. The point is, if you want to get better from this, you got to recognize it's a problem. That's a biblical truth. You have to understand your problem is a sin, and then the Savior will help you to work on it. So to you, sir, I say, well done. Now, how do you get to work on it? It's very simple. You increase your fear. You say, wait a second. The problem is I have a fear of man. Exactly. That's why you need to increase your fear of God. Fear him. And let me tell you, your fear of man, it will diminish because you've got a greater fear. You don't want to displease him. Now, I can't say that this covers 90%, 80%, 100% of the cases when it comes to fear of man. But regularly, when it comes to fear of man, the way that it tends to exhibit itself is by being a people pleaser or by doing things that you maybe wouldn't do because you don't want that person to think negatively about you. When you fear God more, it's like, no, dude, I can't do that. I'm sorry. You might not like me. You might not affirm my decision, but there is one who is greater, and I fear his face more than yours. I do not want to disappoint my God. I do not want to go through the refiner's fire. My heart's one desire. Every time I hear that song, I think of the early Christian music movement and Ray Comfort. You say what? I think that's a Vineyard song. It's not actually lyrically all that horrible. My heart's one desire is to be holy. That's a good thing. Holy after you, my master, ready to do your will. Ray Comfort heard that Vineyard song and went, I don't want to go through the refiner's fire. I'd rather clean myself up than go through the refiner's fire. He's right in that regard. But the refiner's fire, every time I hear the word fire today, it's because it got introduced in the 80s and the 90s through contemporary Christian music. Fire became the theme, didn't it? Everything was about being set on fire, the fire from the heavens. Being warmed by the fire of your love, refiner's fire, everything is about the fire. Ray Comfort says, I don't want to go through that myself, and neither do you. And that is why you need to fear God more and you will fear man less. Trust God more. You'll rely on humans less. Grow in your understanding of his sovereignty, and then you will fear the consequences of life far less. the simplest way to overcome your fear of man is to grow in your fear of God. You need to understand that the fear of man, it is a trap. It is a snare. God will release you from that trap. Grow in your knowledge of him, your understanding of his sovereignty and his goodness and his willingness to discipline you and put you through, get ready for this, the refiner's fire. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, my church is always going on and on about spending time in God's presence and being still in his presence or inviting the Holy Spirit into your presence. All of that seems to have the aroma of NAR to it. Yep. Plus, I thought our Lord was literally the creator of everything and doesn't need our invitation to go anywhere. Am I just being a stick in the mud?
Maybe, but probably not. That's contemporary evangelical lingo. Probably came out about the same time as Refiner's Fire. The bathing in the presence of the warm presence of the Lord. Feeling the flowing of the river from the fire from the heavens as it trickles down from the mountains or something like that. But at the same time, let's not become so clinical in our relationship with the Lord where it's not genuinely intimate. All of that language that was used is more of, in my estimation, kind of a conjuring up of a sensation. Okay, I'm going to get into the state of, I'm going to invite the Lord to, so that I can feel his presence. I believe that was one of the terms that you used in that litany of intimate terms with God. He's already there. He's already in you. You just need to go about the business of talking to him, communing with him. You don't need to summon him. He's already there. And it must be done cognitively. A lot of those terms, they flow out of a movement that is very feelings driven. That, you know, you dim the lights. This is where so much of the contemporary worship styles come from, where the dimming of the lights, the synthesizer, so that you can feel God's presence. How many times have you ever watched any of those worship concerts that they do? I just really feel the presence of the Lord today. Really, what does that feel like? Because if you felt the presence of the Lord, you'd be dust. You'd be ashes because you'd be burned up. If the presence of the Lord descended and revealed itself in its fullness, you would be dead. Instead, you have a mediator, Jesus Christ. His Spirit is dwelling in you. And now you can talk to him. You can then, after you're thinking about God, gets through your brain. Should that cause you to have some emotions? I sure hope so. I can't remember the quote from Jonathan Edwards, but paraphrase. That the end of religion is affections. And that includes will, by the way. But the end of true religion isn't just a knowledge-based sort of enterprise. It is about loving God, knowing God, being known by God, and being warmed by that. Now, how does it happen? It doesn't happen by an invoking. It doesn't happen by dimming the lights and playing synthesizer music. It happens because it's all already there and you're thinking about it. And that then will inform your emotions so that you do. Now, you don't feel that God is there. You know that God is present. You don't feel it like, mystical sensation. You know it. So I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, but this is mostly bathwater, this type of language. The baby is that God does dwell in you. And you just need to be mindful of it. And I don't mean that in a Goldie Hawn kind of way. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Anonymous, a text. Todd, how close of friends should we be with the unsaved?
You should be friends. You should have pals, co-workers. You can even go out and do stuff with the unbelievers in your life. And they can be friends. You can be a great neighbor. You just don't want to be best friends. That's all. You don't want to be yoked in that regard. I do think that this is a correct application of Paul's warning to the Corinthians to not be unequally yoked. And that was the context, I think, is marriage. But I think the application it's greater than just marriage. You don't want to get into intimate relationships with people who are unbelievers. What do you have in common? How are you going to make decisions? What are you going to do? Who's going to lead the way? So be friends, just not best friends. And if they are going to be a friend, I do believe there's a question that you need to ask and answer. And that is, who's zooming who? Who's having more influence on whom? Who is the one that is kind of the one that's making the decisions about the tenor of this relationship? If it is your unbelieving friend, it's time to skedaddle. This is not about boundaries. This is about, hey, if you've got somebody in your life who is leading you away from the Lord, you do have biblical permission in some instances, not all, some instances, now to get yourself to a place where you're not being influenced to sin. That's just wisdom. That is not the same as Cloud and Townsend boundaries, which is a very, very, in fact, Libby Glosson, mm-hmm. on her Better Way podcast. I think she did I don't know if it was how many series, but on boundaries, this movement about you've got to set boundaries. That's closer to the narcissistic movement that's out there. Somebody does something that bugs you, cut them off. Christians don't cut everybody off. There are times when you have to do that for spiritual well-being, but that's the exception, not the rule. Instead, we engage with one another's lives to help each other become sanctified. Boundaries, not a good book. This is Wretched Radio.
Life doesn't come with calm storms. Sooner or later, the storm hits, and the world says the answer is boundaries. Build fences, keep people out, protect yourself. But the Bible never tells you to construct walls. Instead, it teaches you to anchor yourself to truth, to wisdom, to the unshakable foundation of God's Word. That's where the Better Way with Libby Glosson comes in. Intelligent talk radio for women, like no other podcast out there. Always thoughtful and no self-help gimmicks, no fluffy cliches, just practical biblical wisdom that cuts through the noise and makes a real impact in your life. If you're tired of the feel-good messages that don't hold up when the storm comes, it's time for something different. It's time for the Better Way with Libby Glosson. Real truth, real wisdom like no other. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way. 25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, you're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the Apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who always knew there'd be a day I'd have to hang up my talk show host spurs, but today, over this is Wretched Radio. I didn't get it. I'm going to find somebody, Jimmy. Otherwise, I got to hang up my talk show spurs.
Because I already told you.
I was not right about collard greens.
Collards.
Collards?
Collards. That's right.
You've got shorthand for it? You don't have the time to say greens?
Well,
collards.
We're talking about them.
Yep. You just eat. Do you ever put a definite art? Eat the collards?
The collards? No.
Are you making the collards, Ma?
No.
No, just collards.
Just collards.
Mm-hmm. Or collards. I'll find it somewhere on the internet and that will vindicate me. And therefore, I can continue to be a talk show host who's never wrong, which, by the way, I heard a really good quote. I think it was Tim Challies who said, when did or how did this happen where talk show hosts supplant the authority of local pastors? Oh, wow. That is a great corrective. Well, obviously, we keep doing this because we think that we are doing something that can assist, support, undergird, even walk alongside if you prefer. But talk shows should not take the place of your local pastor when it comes to the issue of authority. Look, this is simply to make a point because there are times he can be wrong. Talk show hosts can be wrong. But if in doubt, give the hat tip to your pastor. He's your guy. He's the one with whom you should have the closest relationship. And talk shows, whether it is this one or any other one, we just support. We just fill in some cracks here and there, but we do not take the place of your local pastor. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Gabrielle. Todd, what are your thoughts on C.S. Lewis?
He's an enigma, that guy, because he writes so vividly and so powerfully. He was I think he inspired something that I'm going to be preaching at church on Sunday at alpharettabiblechurch.org. He was talking about hell and the eternality of hell. And I'll paraphrase it for you, but he basically said, I would love to get rid of the doctrine of the eternality of hell because it just kind of rubs against him. Now, I don't think it should, because I think to be bothered by the fact that there will be people, billions of people who experience eternal conscious torment. Here's why it shouldn't bother you. Because you've got to turn your gaze away from the one who is going to experience eternal conscious torment and focus on the one who has been offended. The reason that hell must be eternal and that it is a good thing that it is infinite is because that means our God is infinite and he is eternal. If there's annihilation or conditionalism, then God is not infinite. He's not potent in all regards. Because of his nature, when we sin against him, even one sin, it is deserving of eternal conscious torment because of his character and his nature. So the eternality of hell should not trouble us. But apparently it did Lewis. And he said, but I've got to wrangle with Scripture, which says that it's there. It says you can't argue against Scripture. The eternality of Scripture is there. I am preaching on this Sunday, Matthew 25. It is a perfect parallel at the very end of the chapter. Some will go off to eternal life, other to eternal damnation. Now, I know the conditionalists / annihilationists, they would say, well, that doesn't mean eternal, like forever. Okay, then what are the implications of that for eternal life in heaven? You see, when Jesus said, there's eternal life in heaven contrasted with eternal life in hell. If eternal life in hell is conditional, then it's conditional in heaven too. And we don't think that now, do we? C.S. Lewis, he wrangled with it and became more settled with it when he considered, okay, the individual, if you're desiring universalism because you hate the idea of hell, is the person going to go to heaven coerced? They don't love Jesus. They don't want to be with Jesus. But they're going to get dragged in there anyway because we hate the idea of hell. And he wrote it very vividly, very powerfully. And I kind of used the ideas to share that without actually quoting him, because some of his theology was wonky. And you can't overlook that. Having said that, when he writes about the gospel, when he writes about forgiveness of sins, when he writes about that this is, that we are walking through the shadowlands, it's like, wow, this is glorious stuff. So how do I feel about C.S. Lewis? I like reading him, but I definitely have a filter on him. You have to have a filter with C.S. Lewis, because he was an Anglican who had theology that was, you could argue, goes into the territory of heretical. And I'm just saying that we got to deal with that. So anytime I quote C.S. Lewis, it always comes with a caveat. Brilliant, but be mindful. This guy did not have all of his I's dotted correctly. But boy, when he was right, he was really right. I'm actually going to go see Screwtape Letters. It's going to be in Greenville. How do you like that?
Yeah, you got it.
Greenville. Said that one right, didn't I? He's Max. No, it's not Max McLean doing this one, because it's Screwtape Letters. It's based obviously on the book by C.S. Lewis, and it's a traveling show, and it's going to be in Greenville, and I'm going because I want to see it, and I will learn some things, but I'm going to have a filter on. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Ethan. Todd, why is being a millennial Christian male seemingly the most
you okay?
Can I say that word?
I don't know. Try get your tongue listen up by saying collared.
Debilitating. I got it. Why is it the most debilitating, lonely thing I can imagine?
I'm sorry to hear that.
Making friends with other males my age is next to impossible, and not for a lack of trying.
Yep.
Every time I ask to get together, I receive the dreaded, yeah, we should plan that. I'll let you know.
But.
And then never hear back.
Yep. I can't tell you the title, but I actually read two different articles last night, maybe the night before. There's a book out by a Roman Catholic sociologist who tried to identify why it is that the Christian church has less influence on society. Now, again, this is a sociologist, but you can either affirm or reject his observations. But one of them, in response to this young man, is social media has damaged our ability to have intimate relationships with other human beings. We actually prefer the electronic version because it's clean, it's tidy, it's neat, it demands nothing. Swipe, swipe, swipe. You can't do that with the friendship. And so it's one of the things that has caused the church people to not want to be in church, because you got to be close to those people. They get to know you. They start asking questions. They know things about me. And it's not just the millennial or the Gen Z generation. We're increasingly allergic to that courtesy of social media. So, dude, I feel you. Now, having said that, there is something that you still should do. Now, I think there's a couple of practical things you can do, which we'll get to, but there is a component that sometimes is difficult, because for the most part, this issue is probably out of your control, because this is the society that we've cultivated, a society that doesn't get like deep friendship being in any sort of way revealing and being vulnerable with one another. Ooh, we just hate that idea. So I think the majority of the issue is a social issue, but you still have to ask, is there anything about me that maybe is causing people to be repelled in any way, shape, or form? I'm not trying to blame you. I'm just saying it's an opportunity for you to do some self-examination and grow in Christ-likeness, and that is always worth the effort. Now, what could you do to perhaps find actual friends? Try to find a friend. Just one. And most likely the place where you're going to find that person is the church. And this is an issue that increasingly I think it's a big deal for me, because I observe this so often, because again, our society says that the person you hang with, your buddy, they just need to be like perfect. Hey, we both like playing tennis. We don't like playing pickleball. Okay, everything is perfect. That's just not the way it is in church life. those are lower criteria for what makes a friend. Here's the upper shelf. This is the criteria that matters. Godly, born again, loves Jesus, has a worldview that is permeated with Bible. Now you got a friend. Those other things, whatever, they're just insignificant. So look for a friend who is godly and be willing. Perhaps, you know, they're a little dorky, or you're the dorky one and they're too super cool. Those things are all superficial. Look for the big stuff. And the place you're going to find an individual who checks those boxes most likely is the context of your local church. You say, I don't have a lot of peers in my local church. Fine. Start participating in youth groups at other churches. You can do more than just at your church so that you can meet more people. And don't try to get yourself a bevy of friends. Look for just one. Probably better to have just one really good friend than 10 mid sort of friends. And the place where that should be cultivated is the context of your local church. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.